Today is the fifth Sunday of Easter. The scripture lessons are from Psalm 146 and the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Today's message is titled, Simply Trust Him. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, O my soul! I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. The Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. Here ends the psalm. The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 14, beginning of verse 1. Jesus speaking to his disciples on the night he was betrayed. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may bring glory, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me anything, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is to your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. November 1992. An animated movie titled Aladdin was released. A huge success. So successful that Aladdin became the highest grossing film, highest grossing movie of 1992. Back when Disney was family friendly and could be trusted in its content. Early in the movie, as Princess Jasmine sneaks out of the palace and gets into the trouble in the streets of the city, Aladdin helps her elude the guards. In his hiding place, he and Jasmine are talking as the guards come crashing towards them. Aladdin thinks they're after him. Jasmine thinks they're after her, sent by her father. Escape! Escape! And to escape, Aladdin reaches out his hand to Jasmine while saying, "Do you trust me?" And off they go. A little later, when Aladdin has been made into a prince by the genie, he flies his magic carpet up to Jasmine's balcony. A little tit-and-tat goes back and forth in a conversation, and Aladdin appears to jump off the balcony, and Jasmine rushes to see what happened. He's standing on his magic carpet. Flying up, Aladdin invites Jasmine to come with him on his magic carpet, to go on a magic carpet ride to see the whole world. And as before, Aladdin reaches out his hand and says to Jasmine while saying, "Do you trust me?" She responds in trust, grabbing his hand, and she sees a whole new world. Many a summer, some of us have done this also, many a summer, and I saw at retreats as icebreakers and group builder, trust falls were a go-to activity. Instruction given, demonstration given, and that simple short falling backwards, just a little teeter-totter backwards, and then watching carefully to see that the instructions were actually followed for the catcher and the faller. Just that simple lean back to begin. For some, that trust to just lean back that teeny tiny bit was not there. They would start to lean back and then their foot would shift and step back. They just had a hard time to trust. Encouragement and more encouragement. Don't move your feet. Stand still, nice and straight. Keep the legs straight. Keep the back straight. Lean ever so gently. Just a little lean back. Trust. As confidence and trust increased, the falling back distance would progress to greater and greater distance. And then eventually, if we had an opportunity for those who were daring to trust, okay, whole group moves to the edge of a picnic table, daring to trust falling back a pretty good distance. Okay, stand on the end of the picnic table. All of the rest of the group, put your arms out. Now fall back. The group will catch you. Trust them. The group will catch you. Now, who is willing to trust the group to catch you falling off a picnic table like that and then being sent down the pizza oven or whatever the conveyor belt? All the times of those memories, how they built the group together. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he said these words to his disciples, John chapter 14, verse 1. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." A couple of things to dig into here by going to the Greek word order. Not let be troubled of you the heart. You trust in God, also in me trust. The Greek translated as "let be troubled," it means to be agitated back and forth, shaken to and fro. It's an inner perplexity that is stirred up inside you. Not be this way. Not let yourself be stirred up and agitated and tossed to and fro. And how not to be this agitated? How not to be tossed to and fro in this manner? Trust. Trust in God. And more than that, also in Jesus, trust. Now, this Greek word translated as trust, it can also be translated as faith, can be also translated as believe. Trust, faith, believe. these three, in essence, are the same. To believe is to have faith, is to trust. To have faith is to believe, is to trust. To trust is to believe, is to have faith. And reaching deeper into Greek, the meaning really is to be persuaded. Persuaded of what is trustworthy. Persuaded and come to trust. And this is a gift of God. That persuaded is gift of God. Again, Jesus speaking to his disciples on the night he will be betrayed. He says, trust in God. You trust in God. In me also trust. You'll be taken away. You'll be crucified. And all of this will happen within just a few short hours. Jesus saying, you believe in God, you have faith in God, you trust God. Now me, standing before you, have that same believe. Have that same faith. Have that same trust. You trust God. Trust me, Jesus, in the exact same manner. Jesus is clearly stating his nature as one with God right here. He's stating, I am God. He really is. For this is the depth of faith, of believing, and trust Jesus is asking you to have in him. And this faith, believe, trust only belongs to the Lord God, as it's written in Exodus 20, beginning at verse 1. And God spoke all these words. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Jesus now here this night, he's about to be betrayed, is saying, what you have in God, have that in me. Have that in me. The trust you have in God, in me, have the exact same trust. Trust. There is a place with him. Trust him. Because he goes on to say, there will be a forever place with him. This Jesus, John chapter 14, beginning of verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. The place. He's saying the place my Father dwells. The place my Father dwells. And notice how Jesus speaks of the living God as Father. Father, that intimate, close, personal relationship. Father, my Father's dwelling place. In my Father's dwelling place are many dwelling places. The Father's house has plenty of room for you. The Greek translated, as we're most accustomed to, as mansion. We're most familiar with that mansion. The Greek word has that sense of abiding dwelling place. And this abiding dwelling place is not transitory. It's not transitory. Rather, it remains. It remains. It's an abiding that remains. Now remember, Jesus is using earthly images here to describe heavenly reality. How does one put into words that our finite minds can comprehend of the eternal dwelling place of the Father? And that abiding dwelling place prepared for us. You trust God. Also in me, trust. Also in me, Jesus, trust. Trust Jesus that he is indeed preparing a place for you. And with that place already prepared for you, Jesus will come again and bring you to this place already prepared for you. Now, there's an interesting thing happens here in the Greek. You don't quite hear in the NIV, but you can hear in the NASB 95 translation, the NASB, you can hear it. New American Standard Bible, you can hear it. I'm going to see if you can catch it, the nuances that's in the Greek. So here's the NIV, John 14, verse 3. New International Version, John 14, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Okay, New American Standard Bible, 1995 translation, John 14, verse 3, exact same verse, listen. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Did you hear the difference? One said take, the NIV said take you, the other said receive you to myself. This word receive, it's very interesting in the Greek. It's paralambano. And it's a compound word of para, which means come alongside, come close alongside. And lambano means to aggressively take. Aggressively take. So para, come alongside, close beside, come along. And lambano, aggressively take. Put the two words together, it means there's a strong personal initiative involved in bringing us, receiving us, taking us. That strong personal initiative of Jesus towards us. Jesus has prepared a place for us, and he will receive you to himself. He will receive you to himself to take you to the place he has prepared for you. It's very powerful, strong personal initiative. Jesus is doing this for you. Trust him. Trust him. John 14, now beginning of verse 4. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know. We do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. You know the way, Jesus says. You know the way. Thomas says, we don't know the way. Jesus then makes clear the teaching. He alone is the way. The divine ego eme. Ego eme, the I am, is what starts this. I am, ego eme, the way, the truth, the life. With that clear distinction is also placed, no one comes to the Father if not by me. That's the Greek word order there. No one comes to the Father if not by me. Yes, this is exclusive. It's exclusive, very narrow, exclusive. And at the same time, it is the most open invitation. For the way is there. The mere fact that a way to the Father is opened to us. That is incredible mercy. It's wondrous compassion, overflowing grace. Anyone, everyone is welcome to come. But you must come by the way Jesus provided. The Greek words, there are four Greek words. E, me, de, emu. If not by me. E, me, de, mu, emu. If not by me. A, if. It must be an if. It can't be since. It can't be translated anyway. It's if. Because as the assumption there may only be portrayed as valid, as factually true, this if here is not a conditional if, which we come across in English most of the time. This if of the Greek sets forth what follows is factually true. The way to the Father is only Jesus. The may. It negates what came before. No one comes to the Father if not by me. That no one is a powerful negation conjunction. So it rules out by definition. Everyone by definition is ruled out from coming to the Father. Unless you come by Jesus to the Father. So this first part, no one comes, it means no one. The Greek words means the door is slammed shut so tight there's no exceptions. No one comes to the Father. No one comes if not by me. In other words, Jesus opens the door only to those who are willing to come by him. D, it means across to the other side. To get from one side to the other side, from here to the Father, Jesus is the only way. And then Jesus clearly states, he and the Father are one. If you really knew, through these times we've shared together with personal experience, you would realize, you disciples would realize, you know the Father. And also, in fact, you do know him as you have seen him. How have we seen the Father? By seeing Jesus and all he has done. Jesus and the Father are one. Hence, you trust in God, also in me, Jesus. Trust. Here's where the rubber hits the road. Just think of this. The contact patch of your car, of your tires, your car tires, is where all the action happens. That little contact patch where the circular rubber tire is flattened on the flat ground, whatever ground is. It's really not that big. It's only like that big for each tire, unless you drive other cars, which could be this big. But it's that contact patch of your car is where all the action happens. It's where the starting and acceleration for going forward happens. It's where all the stopping happens. It's where the turning happens. That contact patch of your car, that small oval of just a few inches, is all that keeps your car safely on the road. Well, this is why to get the best tires that you can get. It's essential for your safety. But here's where the rubber hits the road. Trust. Do you trust these words Jesus has spoken? Do you trust the Lord? Psalm 146, beginning of verse 1. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, O my soul! I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. All the other religions of the world are putting trust in mortal man. They cannot save. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing because they cannot save. All religions of man cannot save. Again, here's where the rubber hits the road. Where is your trust? Whom do you trust? Do you trust the princes? Do you trust mortal men? In other words, do you trust the ideas and solutions that come from a mortal mind bereft of the morals and wisdom of God? There's great comfort. Great comfort in simply trusting God. Simply trust God. Jesus. And that is praising the Lord with all your soul and with all your life. It is singing praises to your God as long as you live. Simply trust Him. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Many have put these words to memory. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. Trusting. Really trusting at times can be quite difficult. Problems, when problems come up, you're really challenged. Do I trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Sickness. Watching loved ones as they deal with sickness and challenges. And then when a loved one passes, a loved one dies, do you trust the Lord? John 14, this portion we read this morning, is very powerful at funeral services because it draws out that trust in the Lord when our hearts are crying and the tears are flowing. Trust in the Lord. The realities of life, they tug and they pull and they try to knock you off of that. Simply trust the Lord. Simply trust Him. August 1949, a young preacher, an evangelist, he was really struggling. And walking in the woods, praying, reading the scriptures, he places his Bible on a tree stump. And there he cries out in great angst. These are a quote. "Oh God, there are many things in this book I do not understand. There are many problems with it for which I have no solution. There are many seeming contradictions. There are some areas in it that do not seem to correlate with modern science. I can't answer some of the philosophical and psychological questions Chuck and the others are raising." Wrestling with these words and falling to his knees, the words then come out from his mouth, "Father, I'm going to accept this as thy word by faith. I'm going to allow faith to go beyond my intellectual questions and doubts, and I will believe this to be your inspired word." A change came over this man. A bridge had been crossed. The next day, speaking at Forest Home, 400 responded to the call to come to Christ. A few short weeks later, the historic 1949 Los Angeles Crusade in the tent at the corner of Washington and Hill Street began. Yes, I'm speaking of Billy Graham and using his words to share with you. A by faith moment transformed him. A moment when he believed took deep, deep root and trust firmly established. A few short hours later or so, Jesus was praying in Gethsemane. Then a little later, the soldiers and guards would take him away with brutal force. The disciples scattered. And then a few more hours later, Jesus is there hanging on a cross outside Jerusalem. The crowds mocking him, the women standing in the distance weeping. Some would give up. Soon he'd give up. Soon he'd give up his life and die. "You trust in God," they called from the ground. "Deliver yourself." But remember those words Jesus spoke to his disciples and to you. "You trust in God, in me also trust." Were his words, those to the disciples the evening before, have those words really sunk in to you? Sunday morning, the tomb is empty. Sunday evening, Jesus comes to be with them behind the closed and locked doors. "Peace be with you," Jesus said as he showed them the scars. "Truly flesh and bone, fully alive. This Jesus is God. This Jesus is Savior. Simply trust Him." Simply trust Him. As I get older with more years behind me than years to come, this internal resolve to simply trust Jesus deepens. There are times as I open the scriptures off and I flip the pages, I go, why am I doing this? That temptation comes to close that book, but no, this is the Word of God. Simply trust Him. Simply trust Him. And I pray this deep resolve will take up root in your heart, reside deeply in you, so that this resolve will grow each day with each passing year. For we are mortal, and this earthly life will come to a close. Have no fear. Simply trust Him. Trust Him. For Jesus says you have an abiding place with Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, an abiding place for all time and all eternity in the dwelling place of the Father. What can this life offer that is better than that? Can one day here be better than heaven? Or even 1,000 days here be better than heaven? One day in the dwelling place of the Father in His courts is so much better. Scenes of glory are coming. But until they come, simply trust Him. Trust Him. And you trust Him because you love Him. And as you love Him more, you trust Him more. You trust Him more, you love Him more. Because you know it will be okay. For Jesus is the Christ, the crucified and risen one. He is the Lord and Savior. And by His grace, that finished work of the cross, you are forgiven, redeemed, and given life everlasting. He truly is the one to simply trust. So put that resolve in your heart, deep, deep down in your heart. I may not understand all these words. I may not understand what's happening in life, but I will trust You. I will trust You. I trust God. I trust You. Live life that way. And be filled with hope. Be filled with joy. Be filled with the certainty. In the Father's dwelling, a place is already prepared for you. And Jesus will come back and receive you to Himself. And take you to the dwelling place already prepared. So you will be with Him where He is, with the Father forever. Thinking of that, it really does become quite simple to trust Him. Amen. Amen.